Welcome back to Gaelic Games Fan TV. It's the Championship Recap Show. We're going to be looking back at all the weekend's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship action, and we will be looking back at the weekend's hurling action a little bit later on as well. Obviously, bit of a mental Championship weekend in both football and hurling, in all honesty. I feel like every game almost had its own storyline. Just some crazy action, some crazy games. Even the games that we thought were going to be a foregone conclusion ended up being absolute nail-biters. And like in particular, Ulster, obviously, we'd be focusing on there. What a massive win it was for Donegal versus Derry. Tyrone, obviously, just about getting over the line against Cavan in what was arguably one of the games of the weekend. In Connacht, Galway just about survive getting past Sligo. Not many people saw that game being as close as it is. Although I do remember one or two people in the comments, and we will shout yous out maybe as we go along, who did actually predict Sligo to win that game, and you weren't a million miles off, in fairness. And of course, as well, Mayo got the better of Roscommon. And in Munster, big wins for both Kerry and for Clare, who progress on into the Munster final. We'll touch on the hurling action a little bit later, but we'll focus on the football first of all. And Matthew, I feel like this was the weekend really where the All-Ireland Football Championship and even the Hurling Championship as well, to a certain extent, really burst into life, because every game had its own storyline, really.
Suppose it did, yeah. Thanks for having me on again, Aaron. Yeah, I suppose the football, it kind of showed this weekend that the Provincial Championships kind of are here to stay. Like, Ulster was absolutely miraculous, as many fans would describe it. Sligo putting up the Galway. I did say in the weeks leading up to it, I think Sligo are a good team, and I think they would have put it up the Galway. But as soon as I seen the Galway team sheet, Cormac Walsh on it, I thought, yeah, curtains. But to be fair, like, Walsh only scored 1 point in the game. Cormac, to be fair, came on and did well. But Galway, there's serious issues there, and I don't know what's going on there. And as for Cork and Kerry and Munster, it just shows Cork, they always put up a challenge to Kerry, and no matter what the rivalry. And I suppose with Cork, it's kind of the inconsistencies, isn't it? I suppose we get on to it more later on. But like, they beat Mayo, they beat Roscommon last season. They put it up to Kerry. They put it up to Kerry again. They drew against Armagh in the league. It's just a shame we can't beat Cavan and Louth in the league. But look, we are a good team. We are improving. And I'd like to think we are anyway. And when you look at the hurling, some drama and all that in Leinster and Munster, to Joe McDonough as well, it was absolutely brilliant. The great to see Clubber show Leash and Offaly in that competition too. So yeah, good weekend of Gaelic Games action. And it's a far cry from last week. Last week it was just a weird weekend with more UFC action going on with the Gaelic football. This weekend was much, much better.
Absolutely, yeah. It was very entertaining stuff. And as we were saying, like, a lot of the games that we thought we'd be maybe brushing over on today's show actually turned out to be quite entertaining. And I suppose no better place to start, really, in the Derry-Donegal game. Derry, 17 points. Donegal, 4-11. Jim McGuinness, I suppose, shakes up the Ulster Championship. Derry, obviously, were bidden for three in a row. Were certainly the favourites in most people's opinion. And Donegal managed to overcome Derry. Jim McGuinness now makes it 4 wins on the bounce versus Mickey Hart in the Ulster Championship. And yeah, what a win for Donegal. And for Derry, a setback, not maybe as big as a setback as maybe what some people are saying. They're certainly not going anywhere, and it is a reality check, but I think it is one that they can learn from. But first of all, what a win for Donegal. Quite incredible to think they lost it down in the Ulster Championship last year, and now look at them toppling the Ulster champions.
It's the work of Jim McGuinness. He's a genius, Aaron. He's just, like, you can't say enough about him as a Gaelic football coach. Like, he comes up with these master plans and they always nearly work. Like the game against Dublin 2014. Now this year, like, this guy is just a magician of a manager. And he noticed something that many people didn't notice at the Derry team. Once you kick it over the press, you will gain a lot of traction over this. And to be fair, I don't think Derry are going anywhere. I still think they're a very good side. But it was a huge reality check now on Saturday. And with Orr Lynch in particular, he got a lot of, you know, media attention now on Saturday. And why wouldn't he be? Like, to get caught once was enough. But like, especially in the second half when Mickey Hart would have gone into the change rooms, just had a word, I'd imagine, with Orr Lynch, don't push up and the Donegal kickouts again. Surely Jim McGuinness has us figured out. But then Lynch does it again for Dara Wigg, second goal, and then for the Jamie Brennan goal. It is just a disaster. It really is, from a Derry point of view. And as well as that, not enough of the Derry players really stepped up in the game. I obviously didn't watch it in full. It was in Killarney, but it looks at things. Conor Glass didn't score. Wasn't involved enough in the game. Heard some people talk about it as well. Shane McGuigan only scored 4 points, 2 for play. Not really good enough. Eaton Doherty was probably the only standover from a Derry point of view. And they just look shell-shocked more than anything. Donegal had their number. Dara Weed was really, really, really good. Oisin Gallen, Jamie Brennan getting that 4 goal as well. And they did it without Paddy McBrearish in the team. I know he came on later on, but to do without him was absolutely incredible from a Donegal point of view. And I heard the RT podcast earlier on today, and Roy O'Neill made a very good point about the sweeper-keeper kind of role. Derry tried it and tested it all throughout the league. And to be honest, this was probably the first game in the whole entire year where these tactics went back on the face of Derry and they got their pants pulled down. Simple as. I just think it was just a disaster from a Derry point of view, the kickouts and all that. And again, Rory O'Neill from RT, and I have to credit him on this point as well. They have Brendan Rodgers, Conor Glass around the middle of the field, and they've other lads to step in, like the likes of Kieran McFall and the other players in around the middle. Why can't they trust them players to go on and win the ball? I'm not sure. What's the need with Orr Lynch going up, all the way up up the field, especially with Donegal exposed that tactic in the first half? I don't know. But look, it's a learning curve for Derry. They have to learn sooner rather than later. But Jimmy McGuinness, he has Mickey Hart's number again. He did so many times in the Tyrone and Donegal rivalry in the early 2000s, or 2010s rather, and he's done it again.
Absolutely, he has. Benny Reid here with a comment. I want to bring the Tyrone and Cavan game to players rolling around on the pitch. One player gets a yellow card and other a black card. Yeah, we'll certainly get on to the Tyrone-Cavan game a little bit later on. Definitely a few controversial decisions in there. Matto says Derry were too stubborn to not change their tactics during half time. I feel bad for Lynch, but Donegal exploited Derry's game plan and weaknesses so well. Jimmy's winning matches again. And Gaelic Guy says if you F up once, you don't do it twice, and certainly not a third. Yeah, like that's the thing. Like, because Aaron Lynch is getting a lot of criticism and everything else, and there probably is, you know, some criticism that's warranted. But at the end of the day, like, it's clear as day, Mickey Hart and the management team and Gavin Devlin or whoever else is involved in this sort of things, I don't really know, but it's clear as day they're telling them to go to that specific position. You know, like when Derry were, like when Kieran Mina was there last year, when Rory Gallagher was there, Aaron Lynch didn't do that. You know, he would come out all right, and he would certainly come out with the ball and everything else. And a few times I remember him getting caught, in particular the game versus Galway. But he was never, like, from an opposition kick out, like, pressing the space or marking the space on the opposite flank where the space would be. So at the end of the day, Aaron Lynch gets a bit of criticism, but it's really down to the management for not changing it. And how they didn't change it, I don't know, because it happened once, but there was a few, like, I watched the game back this morning, and there was a few other instances where it could have happened more, like a few kickouts going a little bit astray from Sean Patton, a little bit more luck. Like, it happened 3 times, but it really could have happened 4 or 5 times.
Possibly so, yeah. And it was just kamikaze stuff more than anything from a Derry point of view. And like, you might not think Mickey Hart does this sort of thing with his goalkeepers, because he didn't do so obviously in the early days with Tyrone and winning those All-Irelands. But as many podcasts suggested, actually, he did the same thing with James Kelly for Louth. Like, remember last season when he was claiming kickouts? And I think with Mickey Hart, like, I think it went to a whole new extreme now on Saturday. And Lynch and Mickey Hart both have a bit to blame. Yeah, probably. And to be honest, I was actually shocked more than anything that Mickey Hart didn't take over Lynch's side and say at half time, don't do that again. To do it twice in the second half, then, was just, you know, it was really, really poor from them. And it was so, like, you talk about the parallels as well between Dublin and Donegal and this game as well. And the tackle and everything as well with the kick-out going over the press was just absolutely baffling. You know, I remember the Colin McFadden goal, I think, in 2014, where Michael Murphy just pats it into the Donegal forwards. It was nearly the same on Saturday. The exact same, nearly. And I don't get why Mickey Hart didn't change his tactics at halftime. I really don't. Maybe he was too stubborn. Maybe he was saying that Okay, lads, we'll go with this again. We'll see if this goes to fruition, and if it goes flat and belly up in our faces here, we'll change tactics for the All-Irelands. I think Derry have to. No, they can't keep doing this again. I think they are well capable of winning the ball in the middle of the field without as another guy in there. They have Brendan Rodgers, they have Conor Glass. They could easily bring in Emmett Bradley into the team as well, play him in a wing forward role, bring him into the midfield. It's a much better solution than bringing out a goalkeeper way out of his area and allowing the attackers from Donegal to pounce a mistake. So I think Derry have to explore more options on this if they are to be serious in getting the All-Ireland title. But it's a massive wake-up call for them because, like they can't keep doing this in the All-Ireland series. If they do this against Dublin, and what this will do actually, this Donegal kind of masterclass in many ways, it will get Dublin and Kerry to get thinking more on this. They will notice this and they will say, let's kick over the top and let's see what happens here. So, yeah, it will make a lot more teams more confident in playing Derry, and Donegal have started this.
Absolutely, they have, all right. And yeah, like from a Derry perspective, like 34 shots in total, 17 converted. I mean, it was unusual for Derry in terms of their shooting, like, because usually they have been so clinical, as you said. Shane McGuigan, they probably couldn't really get him too much in the game with the way that Donegal were set up. There were obviously a lot of men sort of inside their own 45, 25 at different times, and they were very, very hard to break down. But at the same time, like, Derry shooting, there was just something off about Derry at the same time, like shots dropping in short. And I've seen some people say, is it because Derry were in the league final 2-3 weeks ago? Like, it has been a bit of time since the league final. But what do you think? Would you put it down to that maybe? Because it was a little bit, it just was a little bit unusual for Derry. And I don't know if they panicked maybe when they went too far behind. And they were just a little bit bamboozled with everything that went wrong. But what did you think about it?
I don't think that's an excuse whatsoever. I know McGuigan was off form and things like that in the league final as well. But I'll put it to you this way. Donegal had a league final as well 3 weeks ago. They played against Armagh. And as well as that, Donegal were without their key forward, Pat McBrearty. And they took 26 shots and converted 15. So surely that's not an issue with Derry. I just think it's just excuses, to be honest with you. I just think it was a bad day at the office for them. Whereas everything that could go right for Donegal went right for them. And you have to give them praise for that. They made it happen. And then, yeah, there'll be a team that'll be definitely feared going on down the line. But for Derry, like, to convert 17 out of 34 is really, really poor from them. Seven wides as well. And 10 short or blocked or saved as well is really, really poor. Like, that's double digits. So they have to fix that, no doubt about it. And Conor Glass was a major concern as well. He was so quiet. And we praised Conor Glass throughout the season as being a brilliant player for Wattie Green Glen and in the league for Derry, and rightly so. But I think this was the most quiet he's ever been since the Kerry game at the semi-final last year. I'll go as far as saying that, because he was just not on the ball. Like, I think someone said to me earlier today, I think he had only 5 possessions of the football. He wasn't involved as much. So that was a major concern for Derry, because it seems as if Derry are going to play well, Conor Glass has to play well. And obviously, things have to go really, really right with their obscure tactics. And both of those aspects of the game went horribly wrong for them. And that was the difference between Donegal and Derry on Saturday as well. And then, yeah, but credit has to go for Donegal. They made it happen. They made Derry look ordinary on Saturday night. And they deserve a lot of praise for that.
Yeah, Sean, he says here, great weekend for the provincial championships. Top games in Derry, Donegal, Sligo, Galway, Tyrone, Cavan, Kerry, Cork. Nothing like local rivalry in the championship. Yeah, absolutely. It's just a shame that we don't see that with Dublin Mead. But look, that's a conversation for another day. Mikey says the RT punditry has gone to the dogs, fellas. What's your opinion? Yeah, we'll save that. We'll get back to that because there was a game they didn't show last night in the Sunday game, which was a little bit bizarre, but maybe we'll leave that for a little bit later. Donegal, though, like, this is a massive win for them. Could they maybe now be serious dark horses or even All-Ireland contenders? Because as you said, they had a similar tactic against Dublin 10 years ago and it worked. They've done this, obviously, to Derry. They'll be, like, I think teams will be a lot more aware of them now, though. Like, I think Tyrone will be a lot more alert going in against Donegal. They'll be a lot more aware of what they possess and possibly even Armagh, provided they get passed down in an Ulster final if Donegal do get through Tyrone, and then obviously beyond that. So, like, can Donegal kick on, and are they even All-Ireland contenders now, in your opinion, do you think?
Baby steps first. They have to win Ulster title. That's the main aim for Donegal. I think they're well capable of doing that. I think they're honestly the favourites for us, along with Armagh. So it'll be interesting to see in the next few weeks how they deal with that pressure of being the favourites. Like, they were the underdogs on Saturday. That tag is gone now. They'll be favourites going into next week against Tyrone, given the way Tyrone played. We'll get onto them in a sec. But, like, Donegal, look, they are favourites now, and they have to, you know, bear that tag really well. As for the All-Ireland, actually, I have a friend from Donegal in my course, and I was talking to him about the game. He was actually delighted about the result. But he was saying, even after the results and all the shenanigans and the excitement, that an Ulster title and a quarter-final, possibly a semi-final, the All-Ireland would be a big expectation for Donegal. Anything other than that is a bonus. So I don't think Donegal fans would be expected to win the All-Ireland. I think, are they capable of it? Absolutely. I think they have a brilliant team. They're unbeaten this year so far in the league and the championship combined. They did very well in the league. They hammered Cork in that division. They hammered other teams as well. They were the much better team in the league final against Armagh. And now they've beaten Terry in the quarterfinal. So why can't they contend for the All-Ireland? They look in a serious shape at the moment. And if Paddy McGreer, she comes back to full fitness next week, that will strengthen that argument even further. So I do think Donegal are in a very good place at the moment. And with Jim McGuinness there as well, it seems as if, like, there's a better vibe in the Donegal camp more than anything. Because you looked at last year under Paddy Carr in particular in the league, it just looks like Donegal were a rabble. And in Aurora kind of move things in the Ulster Championship, the All-Ireland series. But overall, Donegal had a really poor year. And players like Ryan McHugh were leaving the panel. Paddy McBrearty, he wasn't happy. Oisin Gallen was kind of carrying them on their back last season. And to be honest, it's all changed now this year. Now, Jamie Brennan seems to have a renewed bit of confidence there. You have players around the middle. Ryan McHugh come back into the panel and looking as fresh as ever. Patrick Rogan's looking good. You have two good goalkeepers there in Gavin Marini and Sean Patton himself as well. Brendan McCall did absolutely brilliant at Shane McGuigan the other night. So I would say Donegal are definitely capable of the All-Ireland. But I think the main step forward next is to get that Ulster title. And I think they're well capable of doing that as well.
Absolutely. And the team they will be playing in the semi-final will be Tyrone. They got past Cavan 123-316 in Breffni Park. Obviously, a crazy game. Obviously, it was on the BBC. I decided to watch the Mayo Roscommon and the Cork Waterford game at the same time, doing a bit of double screening. Probably should have watched this in all honesty, but I have seen the highlights back and everything else on the Sunday game. They did actually show this game, which was nice. But yeah, what a win in the end for Tyrone. Really went down to the wire. Like, they were 8 points up at one stage in the second half. And then obviously big goals. Brian O'Connell obviously gets a goal. Noel Carolan gets a goal as well. Two goals in the space of 4 or 5 minutes to completely turn the game on its head. But at the same time, you do have to credit Tyrone for still digging deep and getting the victory. Like, it was obviously in very indifferent conditions in terms of how warm it obviously was across the country yesterday, and you could really see the effects on both sets of players, really. But look, fair play to Tyrone. They dug it out. They got the win. They'll be a little bit disappointed with not seeing the game out in normal time, you'd imagine. But look, ultimately, a win's a win, and that is the most important thing at the end of the day.
I suppose it is, yeah. But at the same time, there were 6 points up going into the last few minutes, and they folded. And that was a worrying sight for Tyrone more than anything. The goals from Niall Carolan and Paul Faulkner just brought Cavan back into it. And that was, like, it was just poor from a Tyrone point of view going into the last few minutes of the game. And I will say some Tyrone fans have called you and me out and said they're all out of contenders. Look at that game, they are nowhere near it. And I've said this over and over again, they are not All-Ireland contenders. And I don't think they'll beat Donegal next week either. I just think they're a bit flat. They're very, very poor at the moment. And Cavan should have won the game probably in the last few minutes. They had a goal chance through Tiernan Madden, just agonisingly wide. And then in the last few minutes, Cavan just didn't have the bravest to shoot. Paddy Lynch, the form he's in, I'm thinking, have a go off it, son. But no, he didn't do it. But and Cavan passed the ball back, and that was the final whistle gone. So I think Tyrone just got away with one. I do think Matty Donnelly coming back is a positive for them, and he did very well at centre back. Darragh Canavan at some aspects of the game did well as well. But like, it was concerning more than anything for Tyrone, that performance. So I thought it was really, really poor. As for Cavan, they'll be gutted after that. I think they had 41 shots in the game. For Tyrone to concede 41 shots on another standpoint is really, really poor. They conceded 5 goals and 18 points against Dublin in a round down the league, and now they concede 41 shots against Cavan. I just don't think there's something right there, Aaron. I really don't. I think they're poor enough. Cavan could have easily won the game. I think they'll be gutted after this, that they didn't go on and win it. But look, Cavan, they'll be confident enough going to the All-Ireland Series. They have a few cracks off of a few teams in the All-Ireland Series itself. But Tyrone, I think they're underdogs going into next week. But then again, we've seen out Tyrone teams in the past. They could turn around the performance and produce an excellent one in the next week when no one expects it. But we'll have to see next week how they perform against Donegal. But to be honest, Aaron, even look at the game, I just wasn't impressed with them. And I think Cavan, they got away with one really Tyrone in this game.
Yeah, James says here, Coldrick was the reason Tyrone folded. A black and the yellow man's an absolute clown. What you make of that? Obviously, the black card was it was for Padraig Hampsey, wasn't it? So what did you make of that?
If Tyrone are going to blame us on the referee to being 6 points up, I mean, I'm sorry, but if you're playing in Donegal, Armagh, or Derry, or somebody like Dan Ulster, they're up the top of the Ulster pedestal, that's acceptable. You're playing against Cavan, and you're 6 points up, and you're complaining about black and yellow cards. Look, it might have been a harsh decision for Paddy Hampsey, but the moment you complain about refereeing decisions and things like that, it's just a sign of weakness, in all honesty. I think Tyrone have to blame themselves over this. They were 6 points up. You cannot concede that kind of a lead with around 10 minutes on the clock to go. Simple as. Like, in Cavan, they would have been tired in the heat. Cavan looked tired in extra time. There was a few loose passes, even in extra time, for Tyrone to get the winning score in the end. There was the goalkeeper running out of steam, and Cavan conceding the free. But Tyrone still allowed them back into the game. So I'd be concerned more about the Tyrone performances than the refereeing decision. Yes, I do think it was a harsh black card for Paddy Hampsey compared to other decisions given in other games. But I think if you go down that route, like, there's something serious wrong. I think you have to blame yourselves first and foremost. 6 points up in a game, you should be closing it out, especially in an Ulster Championship game, especially when you have so-called tight-knit defences. I just think it was poor from Tyrone in the last few minutes. And I'd be concerned about the performances more than David Coulter dishing out black and yellow cards.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, and it was a very poor decision, in fairness, and it definitely was a decision I think that a lot of Tyrone fans should feel aggrieved by, in my opinion. I do agree with that. But at the same time, a 10-minute period, obviously, when you're missing a key player, look, it can do damage. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But we've saw sides in the past, you know, go down to 13, 14 men and not completely fall apart. So, you know, I think it definitely did play a factor, but at the same time, you know, you would expect Tyrone to still be able to manage the game a lot better when they are playing a Division 2 side, with all due respect. But look, fair play to Cavan at the same time, though, for showing that amount of fight and battle to get themselves back into it. And, you know, like, obviously they beat Monaghan a couple of weeks ago. They very nearly won this game. Like, obviously that goal chance at the end of extra time that nearly went in. You were kind of hoping, well, I suppose as a neutral, you know, like for a bit more excitement, you were kind of hoping for them to get a final point at the end of the game when they had that possession, you know, large bit of possession, but just didn't move the ball fast enough. And you can understand that, obviously, in those weather conditions. But all in all, like, fair play to Cavan for giving it a real, real good go. And going into that All-Ireland series, like, getting to a preliminary round or a quarterfinal, it's not out of realms for Cavan, I don't think.
I don't think it is, no. And especially with any team in the All-Ireland, as proven at the weekend, he's beatable. Like, you looked at Cork's performance against Kerry, you looked at Sligo's performance against Galway. I think Cavan would fancy their chance against any team in the country, except for maybe Donegal and the form they're in. Derry, possibly Kerry if David Clifford's in top form, and obviously Dublin. Everyone else, I think Cavan would fancy their chances. Like if they were to play Monaghan, Roscommon, Tyrone, and Armagh, I would say Cavan would definitely put it up to them. And they had their overall shots were 41. You know, so like it does prove that Cavan are up there with they are contending for the top honours. The only loss has been Gaul by a point in the league, let's not forget. So they are a very good side. And they proved yesterday, even without Paddy Lynch firing on all cylinders, great fight shown by Cavan. Yeah, I do think so, Gavin. I think they're a very good team. And the fact that Paddy Lynch wasn't firing and they still had players stepping up to the mark. Keane Madden was superb with 1-1. And Niall Carlin was very good as well. Tiernan Madden off the bench really impressed me. So, yeah, I think Cavan are on the right steps at the moment. I think they could test anyone in the All-Ireland series as well, especially in Breffni Park. Now, that's going to be a tough place to go for any team. So I do think Cavan are on the right road to recovery, and I do think they're on the right step to maybe even cause a shock in the All-Ireland series.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and I suppose moving across to the West, Sligo 14 points, Galway 113. I suppose this was a game, you know, in the build-up and everything else. I think a lot of people were thinking it was going to be straightforward, it was going to be a comfortable win for Galway, it was going to be 5 or 6, 7 or 8, some people even saying 10+. But look, fair play to Sligo. They gave a real, real good battle of this. Noel Murphy was very good. Alan McLaughlin, very good, obviously, as well. Patrick O'Connor, very impressive from a Sligo perspective. But Galway dug deep and quite incredible. Like that goal at the end from Robert Finnerty, the only time they ever led in the game. And like, talk about getting out of jail.
Yeah, it was just a lot of people went through grizzled teeth looking at that, especially the likes of Westmeath, Cork and Louth, looking at that result and thinking, oh God, it's like we're going to win this game. We're going to be knocked out of the Sam Maguire now. But you have to give credit to them, Sligo, in all seriousness. What a performance from them. And they have proven they are up there with the top dogs at the moment. Canis Mulligan had a very good performance, and he was the guy to, you know, steer the speech with him, we're the top dogs in Connacht and things like that. And they definitely showed that they can compete with him. And Noel Murphy had a very good performance. Patrick O'Connor was superb as well with 3 points from the middle of the park. Alan McLaughlin, Mikey Gordon, Keane Lally, they all put in a shift. They absolutely did brilliantly for Tony McAtee's side. They deserve a lot of credit. For them to lose in that fashion, that last minute goal for Robert Finnerty was just so cruel. Even look at the clip from John Gillespie from the Galway PRO on X. It was just a cruel way to lose it. It really was. And you only feel sorry for them, Sligo. And you could see the reaction of the Sligo players dropping on their knees and everything. It was heartbreaking for them more than anything. You have to feel sorry for them. As for Galway, that was thin ice sort of stuff. Shane Walsh on the field, 1 point. Wasn't really good enough. Robert Finnerty, to be fair, to 1-5, 1-4 from play. I'm not sure about the celebration against Sligo winning in the last minute. I'm really not. What I will say, look, it's great confidence for Robert Finnerty, but yeah, it's poor enough against the Division 3 team, let's be honest. Jamie Comber did well after coming on, and he had to drag them kicking and screaming, and got them. He was involved in that winning goal as well. So it was a tough one for Galway. It was a tough performance, but Sligo will be absolutely heartbroken over this. But what I will say from a Sligo point of view as well, they will take the positives. They will say, we compete with Galway. If we give them confidence to say, we could go on and win the Tailteann Cup after this, we have the confidence to go on and win it with the under-20 success, the under-20s beating Mayo in the week previous as well. Coming so, so close to Galway, leading against them up until additional time in the game. They deserve a lot of credit for this game. And Sligo will be confident going into the Tailteann Cup, but at the same time will be absolutely crestfallen after the way that ended on Saturday.
Gavin says here, have nothing to do with Sligo, but my heart broke when I heard the goal on Ocean FM. And James says here, Cork, Kerry and Sligo, Galway not on TV. Disgrace. The Sligo Galway game not being on TV was disappointing, but I suppose there was so much on this weekend. Maybe they looked at it and thought Galway are going to beat Sligo quite convincingly, and that's why they're not going to show it. But Yeah, like I was keeping an eye on the score with the What's the Score app, and yeah, when you saw the goal notification come up, you kind of couldn't believe it, and in all honesty, because it felt like it was there for Sligo. And look, would they have gone on and won the Connacht title against Mayo? Probably not. But look, it would have been some story for Sligo to get over the line against Galway. Pádraic Joyce said at full time that Sligo were the better team. It's not really looking good for Galway, really, is it? They were very sluggish throughout the league. They've done enough to stay up. Fair enough, they comfortably beat London, but I think we all expected that. And this was very sluggish, really. And when you're looking at it, like Galway, they don't really seem to be kicking on. And, fair enough, they got over the line, they got the win. That's the most important thing. But it just, especially with Walsh and Comer back, like it doesn't. And look, fair enough, Walsh came back only a point, probably a lot of rustiness involved, obviously coming back from a bit of a layoff. Same, obviously, for Damien Comer as well. But all in all, Galway have some amount of improving to do. Like, you think of where they were this time last year, they were one of the leading contenders to win the All-Ireland, whereas now they look miles off.
It's concerning more than anything. Like, even with Walsh and Comer on the field, they still struggle to go on and win the game. And other than Robert Finnerty and Damien Comer, they were really, really poor now on Saturday. And it was just hard to comprehend from a Galway fans' point of view. And it was almost like, in the All-Ireland final against Kerry 2 years ago, it was almost like they reached the ceiling and they don't know how to get back up there. It's just concerning more than anything. And ever since the Armagh game, ever since Shane Walsh missed that free in the last minute and Carrick and Shannon, it's all gone downhill really for Galway, other than the win against Tyrone. But to be honest, like, Tyrone are poor themselves. So I don't know, could Galway see that as a very good win for themselves? But they got beaten quite convincingly against Kerry, against Dublin. They didn't really lay a glove on them. Other games they drew against Roscommon. Okay, the performance against Monaghan was encouraging, but Monaghan had a few weeks ravaged by injuries. That's a concern for them as well. So, yeah, I think there's a lot to be concerned about for this Galway team. Even Walsh's performance, they were kind of uncharacteristic more than anything in the All-Ireland series last year. And other than the Kilmacud exploits, obviously, and for obviously for Galway early on in the year, like that performance against Sligo just wasn't good enough for Walsh's standards. And I know Kieran Malloy came back into the team and got a point for himself as well. But look, it's such a hard one to know for Galway, because they have some brilliant players: Paul Conroy, Kieran Malloy, Shane Walsh, Damien Comer, Robert Finnerty, Matthew Tierney. I'm not sure what's the story there. Is he coming back into it? If he is near full fitness, Galway need to get him back and quickly. So, yeah, but at the same time, when you're going to a Connacht final against Mayo, of course, not to mention this last night, there's Connacht finals, they take a life of its own. Maybe Galway could get a bit of form going into this game. But as of right now, Mayo look like clear favourites to win that Connacht title. And yeah, it was just a poor showing from Galway overall.
Yeah, Mikey says, I think it might be a blessing in disguise for Sligo. They would have probably finished fourth in their group, whereas now they're one of the favourites for Tailteann. Yeah, you could look at it that way, most definitely. I think at the same time, though, if Sligo had gotten over the line against Galway, having already beaten Westmead a couple of weeks ago as well, like, who's to say Sligo maybe don't sneak out of the, one of the groups that they would have been in, and what an achievement that would have been. But yeah, look, you would look at Sligo now as probably the favourites to win the Tailteann Cup, depending on obviously the final round of fixtures and how things end up. Other game in Connacht, Roscommon 13 points, Mayo 1-15. Yeah, it wasn't really the best game in all honesty. I don't know if you saw the Sunday game last night. It was a little bit bizarre. They showed a little kind of montage highlights, but they didn't actually show the game, which was a bit mad.
Very disappointing more than anything, because I actually watched Cork and Waterford. I didn't actually watch Roscommon and Mayo, so just strange more than anything.
It was like they almost left it out or something, because they were advertising throughout the show that they were going to show the game, and then it just skipped to the interviews. It was a little bit bizarre.
What I will say as well, like, I think their analysis were very poor on some of the games, like especially Cork and Kerry. It was very, very brief as well. Galway Sligo, I don't think they showed enough either, which was a concern. Like, Sligo almost pulled off the shock of the weekend, and that doesn't get him shown on even a good camera, which was a concern more than anything. So yeah, it was almost like the Sunday game kind of said the Ulster Championship's the main event this week. We'll put on Tyrone and Cavan, we'll put on Donegal and Derry, and yeah, we'll just leave the rest. We'll just put them on sporadically and let the public, you know, digest whatever way they can. And to be honest, Aaron, it's just not good enough. And I will say this, the Saturday game, especially with Cork and Kerry on, Sligo Galway on, and a few other games, Derry Donegal on, a Saturday game should have been on a Saturday evening. What's the point in advertising it last year and not putting it on this year? It's almost like you tried out a new toy, a teddy bear or something like that, and as soon as it rips a small bit, you're like, ah, nah, I don't need it anymore. I just throw it to one side.
But the thing was as well, and it was working as well. Like, I think I'm pretty sure it was well received and everyone enjoyed it. Like, so it's not as if people were saying this is, you know, we don't want to see this or whatever. So yeah, it was a little bit strange. I mean, there was a lot of games on Sunday, to be fair, but at the same time, it would have maybe saved the load a little bit with Derry Donegal and Kerry Cork. Like,
yeah, definitely. And I think like it would have provided more time to talk about the games more than anything. And I think they were going to talk about the September things and the September All Ireland final thing with Jarlath Burns, because they put up a poll and everything like that, and they didn't have time last night. So that just showed you. I think honestly, RT expected this weekend to be a flat one in football. They expected Kerry to roll over Cork easily. They expected Galway to roll over Sligo. They expected Tyrone to roll over Cavan, and they expected the Mayo Roscommon game to be boring, and Derry Donegal obviously to be the main event and the main creme de la creme there. But they expected every other game to be a non-event. And I think RT were just shocked at this. And they were in a rush. Oh, we'll get this game over and done with. We'll get this game over and done with. Oh, this game is on too. Clear at Wofford. Yeah, we'll throw this in for a 2-minute package. And they'll talk about it for maybe 30 seconds. And that should be fine. You know, it's to be honest, Aaron, it's just disrespectful to these counties that don't get shown more than anything. And to be honest, Cork and Kerry's fine, because there was good analysis at GA Go when I watched that back. At GA Go, I will say, are much better than RT. We'll talk about that more in the Cork and Kerry game when we talk about it. But to not show as much as Galway, Sligo and Waterford Clare was very, very disrespectful, considering none of them got shown. And especially with Sligo putting up such a big effort against Galway. I was just, it was upsetting in many ways for Sligo, them players putting in such a big effort into causing a potential shock against Galway. And then, to be shown nothing more than anything.
Yeah, well, it was a little bit mad, and like I understood, obviously they only had a reporter there or whatever, but in terms of the analysis after, like, they definitely maybe could have discussed it for a little bit longer. In fairness, Gavin saying here, Roscommon running around like headless chickens, nothing else to say the same, nothing else to say the same for the last 2 months. Burke out, luckily the under-20s and minors keep me going. Roscommon's Achilles heel is their erratic finishing in crucial moments. They've never had composure late in games. They had the goal chances to get back into it and they blew it. Yeah, like there was some very bad misses in there. Like, and there was some misses where you were looking at it and thinking, like, some of the chances were going miles wide, and it wasn't even like they were just a small bit wide. So yeah, like in terms of the game, Roscommon, they just never really looked into it, and they just look like such an easy team to play against, in all honesty. Like, I don't think Mayo were actually really that, like, Mayo controlled the game very well. They'd done enough. They never really looked worried in the game. I don't think they ever really had to come out of third gear. It just looked so comfortable for Mayo, even though there was times in this game they're only 2, 3, 4 points in front, whereas watching this, it felt like Mayo were 10, 15 points up the way both teams were playing.
It was just a slow pace more than anything. And I watched this out of the corner of my eye. Obviously, I was watching Cork and Waterford. Couldn't keep my eyes off the hurling. But then the football, it was almost like there was a slow pace ever since Aidan O'Shea got that goal in. And it was just a strange type of a game more than anything. And it was just Roscommon, other than Darragh Craig and Dermot Murtagh, just the over off them. I don't know what it was. And I will say this again, like I said this during the league about Roscommon. Ever since really the Kildare game in Tullamore last year, they've fallen off a cliff. And I don't know. It's all, they've fallen off the cliff and they don't know how to get themselves back up it. And look at the Cork game last year. They could have easily won that game at Parky Keep while performing terribly. They lost that game, and that confidence started to drain even more. And then the league, it got even worse. And it got even worse against Mayo. It was almost like there was no oomph to go on and win it, or even to come back into it, which was very disappointing from a Roscommon point of view. We've seen in other provinces this week, Cavan provided a bit of fight against Tyrone. Johnny Gall obviously did against Derry. Cork did against Kerry. Sligo did against Galway. So it wasn't really an excuse. Excuse me, for Roscommon to produce a bad performance more than anything. Because to be honest, out of all the games of the football this week, and it was the most unexpected to be the most one-sided. But other than the Clare Waterford game, I think this was the most one-sided game of the weekend. I don't think even Roscommon fans would complain about that. As for Mayo, look, Fergal Boland did well. Conor Loftus did well after coming on. Aidan O'Shea kind of shushed a few doubters with one goal on the point. Ryan O'Donoghue performed well at 7. But obviously, there's a lot more work to do for Kevin McStay. They have to improve more. You'd imagine they'd have enough to beat Galway in the Connacht Championship. But when you're moving on down the line against the Donegals, the Derrys, the Dublins, the Kerrys, there's a lot more for Mayo to improve on. And that will be at the back of Kevin McStay's mind, I'd imagine. But it's just a strange Roscommon. They're in a rut, and it seems like Davy Burke's side just don't know how to get out of it.
Yeah, I think it hits a nail on the head there, to be honest with you. Like, it's almost like he's come in. There was a huge bounce, you know, manager bounce and everything else, and things went really, really well. They got some really brilliant results. Obviously, did very well in Division 1 last year, beat Mayo in the Championship. You know, got a draw against Dublin and Croke Park, probably should have won that game. And then, yeah, they've lost to Kildare, and they just haven't really recovered. They've had a few, you know, they obviously beat Monaghan in the league, but I think aside from that, they haven't won a game. So, yeah, worrying times for Roscommon going into the group stages as well. Like, they're going in as a third seed, but I think for a lot of the fourth place seeds, you'd nearly want to get Roscommon, to be honest with you, because they look very vulnerable. They really, really do. And if you're, we'll see who's obviously in there, but the likes of Mead, maybe Loud, maybe Westmead. We'll see who obviously ends up in there. But I think a lot of them will be looking at it and thinking we could get something from Roscommon. And that is quite worrying, I think, from a Roscommon perspective. Looking at the two games in the Munster Championship, starting off with your own county, Matthew, against Kerry. It was Kerry 18 points, Cork 112. Obviously, Cork haven't won in Fitzgerald Stadium, I think, since the 1980s, and for large parts in this game, you were thinking 1990s. There we go. Yeah. I'm getting too carried away. You remember that one, but yeah. But ultimately, look, for large parts, it looked like the upset was going to happen. It did, and it wasn't really until what, the 50th minute, that Kerry actually took the lead in this game, and then they looked fairly comfortable after that. But maybe a bit of an opportunity missed there for Cork.
Yeah, I think more than anything, yeah. I think it was a very good performance by the players, more than anything. Like Brian Hurley with 8 points. Daniel O'Mahony, as far as I'm concerned, an OGA goal, gave the man of the match to Sean O'Shea. But my man of the match was Daniel O'Mahony. Like, the interceptions he was making, especially on David Clifford. Like, I knew he was already a good defender before the game even threw in. And I knew he has the potential to be a top defender. But to mark David Clifford out of the game like that in the first half was absolutely exceptional. And every time David Clifford seemed to come up the field, there was an onus for Daniel O'Mahony just to put the hand in or put a tackle in and defend brilliantly. So that's brilliant to see. And as well as that, a bit of a trivia for fans out there. He's actually Aidan O'Mahony's nephew, the Kerry legend. So we're lucky to have him. He's an excellent player for men not in the Bree in the Kerry border. So, yeah, he played excellent snow on Saturday, as did many of the Matty Taylor, Tommy Walsh, Luke Fahey. They did brilliant. Paul Walsh gets that goal early on, and you're thinking, yeah, we needed that to, you know, to rise up the crowd more than anything. And to be honest, what surprised me, like, looking at the Dublin and Meath game last week, like, the attendance was very low, and I was worried going out to Killarney that this would be kind of a non-event and it would be low attendance. But a lot of Cork fans actually showed up. A lot of Kerry fans got behind their team as well, which was a good sight to see. And the weather was out, which, like, I think a lot of people noticed that over the weekend. It was just sunny. It was probably the one time this year that I actually wore one layer, just the Cork jersey on. So it was just great weather and great summer weather. But to be honest, in the first half, Cork had about 3 or 4 goals. Chris Oak hit one over the bar. Conor Corbett in the first minute hit one over the bar, could have easily hit the net as well. Obviously, Paul Walsh gets that goal as well. And Cork were going for Kerry's throat, and it seemed to improve in dividends. I think where Cork kind of made the mistake was at the end of the first half, start of the second half, they decided to push back. And they decided to put Sean Poulter into the defending D. And that was kind of inviting pressure for Kerry. And yeah, Kerry just got point after point after that. But Kerry deserved a lot of credit, to be fair. They came back into the game while performing poorly themselves. And they'll take a lot out of this game. And I think the most disappointing aspect for both sets of fans, more than anything, that this wasn't a Munster final. I think a lot of people went out of the ground thinking this was the Munster final, as far as they were concerned. That was a big test for Kerry. Cork players were coming off the pitch. They were very disappointed. Obviously, proud of their efforts and all that, but John Cleary, I'm sure, would have wanted a win out of this game. But they did themselves proud, to be fair, Cork. And they proved, like, even after the Mayo and Roscommon game, the wins there last year, that they do belong up to the top level. It's just a shame they can't produce it in a more consistent basis, more than anything. So, yeah, it was a good performance from Cork. Good for Kerry as well to get back into the game, and they were tested all the way in this game, which will prove them good going further into the summer. And I will say Kerry are vulnerable in defence, and Cork got a lot of joy running at their defence in the first half. They just pushed back in the second half, and it was just a poor move more than anything. But look, the players performed well. They did their the Cork crowd proud, in fairness to them. And it was a good game overall, and good atmosphere and all that, and it proved the Cork-Kerry rivalry is still alive, despite me going on during the week that this was this, you'll get the Dublin and Meath rivalry, but yeah, Cork proved it. We can put it up to Kerry, and the players should be very proud of their efforts, to be fair, on Saturday.
Yeah, like, I don't know what it is. Like, it should be like the Dublin and Meath rivalry. It probably should be, considering, like, you know, Meath and Cork are probably at a very similar level, and Dublin and Kerry are obviously at a very similar level at the moment as well, so probably should be similar. Maybe it's the fact the game isn't in Croke Park, you know, like, who would have known that could potentially be a solution. But Michael says here, Kerry without Clifford can be beaten easily. Cork are on the way back. Gavin says, Matt, you're probably presently surprised after saying Kerry would win comfortably, and why is this game being covered? Mikey says Cork are the fourth seed team that you want to avoid. They absolutely are, in fairness. Like, always seem to raise their game against better teams. Is there any worry really for Kerry? Like, I suppose we saw this a little bit last year for Kerry when they played Cork last season in the group stages. And, like, it is kind of a common team. Actually, when you look at Jack O'Connor, even in his first and his second spell, Kerry would often sort of just grind their way through games, and then it would be when they get to Croke Park that they click into gear. So is there any concern or worry for Kerry, in your opinion?
I think there is a few concerns, but look, you have to take into account as well, it is early in the season. Kerry are just off a training camp in Portugal. It was always going to take time for them to regain a bit of form, and you have to take that into account as well. But I will say, if that commenter made a very good point there about David Clifford, if he doesn't perform, Kerry look bang average, really, in the first half. And that was a concern from them. Sean O'Shea performed well, to be fair to him. Killian Bourke wasn't really involved in the game. Darren Moynihan got involved in some spells. Their midfield was really outplayed at times by Cork, which was a concern for them. And Joe O'Connor looked so good in the league. He was a bit quiet now on Saturday, which was a concern for them. Defensively, if you run at them, like, even with Jason Foley out of the team, he needs to come back to the team ASAP, because he's a big player at full back, and Cork kind of noticed that weakness. And if that was another team, if that was a Derry or a Dublin, and having them Cork goal chances, that would have been 3-4 goals. So that would be a concern for Kerry. But then again, you looked at it last season against Cork, they performed poorly. Against Mayo, they performed poorly. But as soon as they played Tyrone last year, bang, they perform well. And that is always the danger with Kerry. They can always produce a good performance. They're always the aristocrats of Gaelic football. They can always produce a good performance. But another thing as well, they need orders other than Paddy Clifford to deliver the ball into David Clifford as well. That wasn't really seen in this game, which was a concern for them. Adrian Spillane was a bit quiet. Killian Burke was as well. Dermot O'Connor, they played well at patches in the game. Both Kerry need to improve on that if they are to challenge the Dublins and the Derrys of this world. But I think, obviously, the Munster final did win down at Cantor. That's without question. I think the major questions will come for Kerry in the All-Ireland group stage and see how they get on in that. But it was a good test for them. That is a positive. Carty put it up to them. That can't be stressed enough. So yeah, I think Kerry, look, it's a hard one to judge because they did perform poorly on Saturday, no doubt about it. But they are the type of team to just produce it out of nowhere. And you've seen it in the Tyrone game last year. Like, a lot of people went into the game, including myself, saying that Tyrone would win the game. But Kerry just produced it out of nowhere to go on and win it at a canter, more or less. So yeah, they can produce it out of anything, and fans need to be aware of that too.
They absolutely do. And yeah, like, you wouldn't go writing Kerry off. In fairness, like there definitely are vulnerabilities there. There definitely are things they need to work on. But it's certainly no stage to be pressing the panic button. Clare will be the side that are playing Kerry in the Munster final. They finished 220-19 versus Waterford. I think everybody really could see this coming. Emmett McMahon with 1-3, Mark McInerney with 1-2, Aaron Griffin with 5 points for Waterford. Tom O'Connell scored 1-1, so he was on the goal on the goals, chasing the goals once again. But yeah, look, very comfortable for Clare, and probably one we all expected, really.
Yeah, it was a good win for Clare. Emmett McMahon, obviously, as you mentioned, Aaron Griffin, top scorer for play in Division 3, carried that form into this game with 5 points from play. That's 219 in across the league and the championship from play. So very impressive from him, to be fair to him. Waterford tried their best, but obviously it was in vain more than anything. And a good result for Clare, to be fair to him. But the championship structures, Aaron, and I think this game exemplified it more than anything. And a lot of people went out of Clarny thinking Kerry was the Munster final, and it was the Munster final as far as they're concerned. No disrespect to Clare. They have done well, obviously, in Division 3. They got up. They were third in that division. They have managed to turn around their players well, to be fair to them. But when you put it in black and white, they only had to beat Waterford, 32nd best team in the country, to get into the Sam Maguire Cup, whereas Down badly need to win next week to survive the Sam Maguire Cup against Armagh, who are promoted to Division 1. I don't think it's fair. And I have praised Clare over the last few seasons. They have done well with the resources that they have, in fairness to them. But it's just unfair, really, isn't it, Aaron, that Clare, they only have to beat Waterford to get into the Sam Maguire Cup, whereas Down have to play Armagh to get in there and have to win next week. It's poor more than anything, and I just think it's unfair as well. And it's something that the GAA need to look at, and anybody organising the Sam Maguire Cup needs to look at. I honestly think, and this year exemplifies more than anything as well, the provincial winners should only be in the Sam Maguire Cup and the provincial finalists. If they win the final, fine, but if they're only in the final and they're Division 3, Division 4, they shouldn't be in the All-Ireland series. That's just my honest view on it. It just has unnecessary implications for the likes of Westmeath next week, for Loud and Cork as well. Like, Cork are still in the midst of the Tailteann Cup. People might not know it, but they are. That's only if Offaly beat Dublin, but still they are in the conversation, which shouldn't happen, really. And it's just, it's a poor structure more than anything, Aaron, and they have to do something to fix this in the next few years. And more than anything, I do feel sorry for the likes of Down, who have to beat Armagh next week, and Clare just going to the All-Ireland and having beaten, to be honest, the worst-ranked team in the Alliance League. Is just, I don't know, it's just poor more than anything.
Absolutely, yeah, most definitely. Like, I would agree. Like, I think, especially when Clare, the only team they have to beat to get to a provincial final is obviously one of the lowest-ranked teams in the country. Like, it does make a bit of a mockery of the scenario. And obviously we were bigging up Sligo, but last season, like, they had to be what, New York and London before getting to a Connacht final. So yeah, I think it's something they will have to look at, because there does seem to be a few scenarios where it does seem a little bit unfair on the likes of Down and Westmead, who got promoted ahead of Clare in Division 3. We'll move on to the weekend's hurling action. There was certainly a lot of talking points and big games and everything else that that happened here. And I suppose we'll start with the game in Ennis. Clare 118, Limerick 315. Huge win for Limerick. They were obviously 9 points down going into the final quarter. They then outscored Clare 3-6 to 3 points, which was absolutely incredible. Aaron Glan obviously scoring 2-5, getting two very decisive goals. Arguably, square ball on both of them, which could very well be debated. And of course, Donegal Dáilling getting a big goal in and amongst it as well. So quite incredible. Like, what a turnaround from Limerick. They looked down and out for about 50 or 60 minutes. This genuinely looked like one of the worst Limerick performances I think I've seen in the John Coyley era. And then with a flick of a switch, they just start playing and they just completely blew Clare away. Like, it was incredible to watch, really.
Incredible more than anything. They had 50% shot accuracy and things like that. They were a few points down and then a few goals changed the game. Like, I think Clare were 116 to 13 points up when Dermot Byrne stepped up for that free. And it looked as if, like, it was going short and things like that. And out of nowhere, it ended up in the net. Then Russell's, and you're just like, what on earth is going on here? And then Donegal Dáilling, they get a point. Then Donegal Dáilling turns the Clare defender. And to be honest, like, it was a good effort for Donegal Dáilling and Vernus. And another goal to add his collection. Obviously, good scoring in the league. But Aver Quilligan has to do better there for the second goal. And then the third goal was, I actually, even before the Sunday game analysis for Donegal last night, I couldn't believe the amount of space that Garrett Hagley was afforded for Limerick in that situation. And he hit the post, and obviously Aaron Gallant puts it in. Do I think it's a square ball? Look, it's a tight one, isn't it? Aaron Gallant's on the edge. It's a tight one, it really is. I do think, though, like, the first goal, I think it went straight in. As far as I'm seeing, I think Dermot Byrne's got that goal. So I think that should have stood. I think that was just a poor judgment from Aver Quilligan and Conor Cleary in the full back line. It was just poor enough from a Clare point of view. And Clare looks so comfortable. Like, even when Tony Kelly came on, you're thinking, okay, Clare, they're rousing up the crowd. No, they're going to go on and win this game against Limerick. But then, as you said, the flick of a switch and it all changes. And it's just, it was just bizarre more than anything that it happened. And then I think John Coyley would go back into the drawing board thinking, we won this game okay, but that wasn't a good enough performance to even get over the Munster that showing. And if Limerick were to lose this game, I think there would have been a lot of worry. There would have been a lot of talk in the media thinking that this five in a row, is it going to go to a capitulation? But all of a sudden, it's already turned now. And it's just, it was just a bizarre set of events more than anything. And Clare, I will say about this about Clare, they performed in some aspects of this game. Aidan McCarthy, the star of the game, there were very good performances on the Clare team. But you couldn't say anything other than this arm. They bottled it. They absolutely bottled it. Like, they should have won this game. Simple as. But the fact they lost this game now, they're going to Parky Heave against Cork. I think they will win against Cork next week, but that's a pressure cooker situation for them, you know. And, like, to go into that in losing a game that you were so far in front in, like, it's just the tables have turned more than anything. And it was just bizarre how things did turn in this game. And that the defensive line were very poor the last few minutes, and they just crumbled under pressure. As soon as the Burns goal rustled the net, it was almost like Clare panicked more than anything. Like, Limerick, you get a goal, they get a point later on. Then Donegal Dáilling gets a goal. If anything, the Donegal Dáilling goal as well. The gaps in defence were absolutely unbelievable. I think it was about 3-on-2. The three defenders for Clare, the two Limerick attackers. It was just kamikaze stuff in the back line. And, you know, like, it was just a strange talk for Clare. It was really, really poor from them. Look, Limerick will go back to the drawing board. It wasn't the best performance for them, but Clare would feel sick after that because they knew in their heart and soul they should have won that game.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was mental, really. Like, and you mentioned about Clare bottling it. Like, why do you think they did bottle it, though? Because, like, they were, 8-9 points up? They were cruising. You're bringing Tony Kelly on, who's arguably Clare's best hurler. Now, I know, obviously, he's been injured. He didn't play in the league, very rusty and everything else. Maybe in hindsight, it wasn't the best time to introduce him, but at the same time, it did make perfect sense. Like, you're 9 points off, you're bringing Tony Kelly on, you know, you're bound to get a lift. The crowd are all on their feet. And, like, was it just that goal, do you think, from, like, it looked like Lan got a flick on it, but you're obviously saying Jermaine Burns, like, it went the whole way in, but like, was it just that goal that completely let Clare's heads go or something? Because they were in so much cruise control. Like, it was kind of bizarre to see them just completely fold. Like, the only other time, it kind of reminded me a little bit of when they played Kilkenny in that semi-final 2 years ago in the first half, where, like, everything just completely imploded and, like, the game was gone. You know, they got absolutely hammered. This was a little bit different because they were in front in their own stadium. And yeah, it was mental to watch. Like,
it was almost like when Burns struck that into the back of the net, it was almost like Clare didn't know what to do afterwards. They didn't know how to hold the lead. And they do have some excellent players, and they have performed well in the league, and they did perform well. They've been the second best team to Limerick over the last few seasons. But it was almost like they just capitulated. And it was a hard one to comprehend because it happened so fast. 3-1 inside, what, Aaron, 5 minutes? Or something like that. It was just kamikaze stuff more than anything. And it was just the defending. Like, for the first goal, the Dermot Burns goal, it was Conor Cleary and Aver Quilligan. I don't know what on earth happened there between the two of them. Like, it was a ball drop short. Surely Aver Quilligan puts up the hand, slitter in the hand, but it somehow ends up in the net. The second goal was like, it was bad quality for Limerick. It was Donegal Dalig initially, actually, when he looked back at the clip, initially he struggled to pick up the ball first time, and he picked it up wrong second time as well. But Clare still allowed him the chance to pick it up, and then it was just a tame kind of an effort, and Aver Quilligan should have stopped it. It kind of went underneath him, and almost like when time stopped, and as soon as them sort of things go against you and things go wrong, it gets worse. And the Garrod Hegarty in space, I just, for a Munster championship game, especially with, and don't know, epitomise this brilliantly on the Sunday game as well. I think there was two or three Clare players on one area of the pitch, and Garrod Hegarty was on the other. And the amount of space that Hegarty was given, it was just unbelievable more than anything. And then the ball hitting off the post, and Clare could have the complaints and everything about the square ball. It's a 50-50 decision with the square ball, but I'd be questioning about the Hegarty space. How have Clare allowed him in that much space when there's two or three defenders around, like, in the semicircle of Hegarty? Like, it's just unbelievable more than anything. And it was almost like the heads were gone at that stage and the game was gone then. And, like, it was just nothing Clare could do about it after that. And yeah, it was just a strange game to comprehend more than anything. And Clare would feel absolutely sick after that. And if the unthinkable happens and they manage to lose to Cork at the Park next week, like, serious questions will be asked about Clare looking at this game in particular, because they had the game won, they had it in the grasp, they were 6 points up, and they somehow let it slip.
Yeah, quite remarkable, really. Like, you couldn't believe, like, watching it just all unfold, like, in front of your eyes. Like, and, like, Limerick's ability, in my opinion, and I was tweeting about this and everything else, like, their ability to just turn it on, like, with a flick of a switch, I think is what makes them arguably one of the greatest GA teams, in my opinion, we've ever seen, because we know their skill levels. We know the talent of, you know, Keane Lynch, Aaron Glan, Garrod Hegarty, Kyle Hayes, all these lads. Like, they've talent in abundance all across the pitch from 1 to 15. One of the best managers in the game in John Coyley. Paul Kinnerk's obviously in the backroom team as well. But it's just that mentality, I think, that often gets forgotten about. And it's maybe, I feel like we live in this world in sport now where, and obviously you're a stats man and everything else, and you know, data and everything plays a huge part in sports nowadays, and as so it should, with more and more information becoming available. But at the same time, the mentality aspect, I think, often gets forgotten about. And, like, how many times have Limerick been in this scenario over the last 4 or 5 years? You think back to Tipperary in the 2021 Munster final, what, they're 10, 12 points down at halftime. They come roaring back to win that game. You think back to last season, behind against Galway, come back to win, behind against Kilkenny, come back to win. And now in this game as well, like, their ability to just turn it on is quite remarkable, really. Like, if I didn't know any different, I'd nearly say it was pre-planned, because it almost looked too good to be true.
Believe me, I don't think it's pre-planned with John Coyley. I don't think it's like that. I just think he's just a brilliant manager and just gets these players ready for these sort of situations, because it was almost like Limerick were ready for this sort of situation to happen, for them to pounce on Clare's mistakes, whereas Clare weren't ready for that sort of situation to happen yesterday. And that is a mentality thing. Like, and that comes with experience at the top level and being up there for so many seasons. And there's no doubt Limerick have some excellent players, and there is stages in the game. Look at the All-Ireland final last year against Kilkenny. They were 5 points down when Paddy Deegan got that goal. And personally, I thought, that's it. That's curtains. Kilkenny have this one. But they find somehow, some way to come back into the game. And I suppose that's what makes 5 in a row champions. That's what makes good champions. Obviously, they haven't won the 5 in a row yet, but they will do so if they win it this season. But like, that's what separates the greatness from the good. This Limerick team, like, even when they perform terribly, they somehow put it out of the fire. Like, look at the Tipperary game at Sippa Stadium last year. Obviously, the game at Parkheave a few years ago during COVID. But the Sippa Stadium game last year, when Barry Nash got sent off, it was almost like the world kind of capitulated around Limerick, and they had nothing to do about it, and they were really, really poor. Things weren't going their way in a way. They still stuck at it, and they got the draw out of that game. And then against Cork, they beat them in the last game of the season, despite Cork performing well. That's just Limerick in the nutshell. They are just an incredible team. They're a team to be admired. And even if the likes of Garrod Hegarty, Keane Lynch are off the arm, look at Keane Lynch yesterday. And the lads mentioned it, Cusack and Tyrrell, to be fair, and they weren't ranting for a change. They were bringing good analysis, to be fair. But what they actually said about Keane Lynch, the first three quarters, he was out of it. He was anonymous at the 15 position. As soon as he moves back into his preferred position at centre forward, in and around the middle of the field, it's almost like it's effortless to them. And at the flip switch, he performs well after that. And that's what makes John Coyley such a good manager. That's what makes Limerick champions. And I wouldn't be shocked in the slightest if they go on and win the 5 in a row again, because their temperament, more than any other county at this present moment in the country, is levels above the rest.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And I suppose for Clare, like, you do wonder how they will respond to this. We've seen teams in the past suffer big defeats and not being able to recover, like Waterford kind of springs to mind, obviously two years ago when they got off to a rocky start following on from winning the league and everything else. So you do wonder how Clare will respond, obviously, following the defeat. But speaking of Cork, that is who they'll be playing next. And they obviously got beat by Waterford 225 to 125. Coming into this game, Cork were big favourites. And obviously we were doing the preview show during the week, and I was saying that just when I start hearing so many people like predicting Cork to win by 9, 10, 12 points. And look, I still fancied Cork to win the game as well. Like, I thought they'd win it by 3 or 4, but you always just felt like Davey Fitz's team talk, like, it was already done. He didn't need to say anything. He just needed to say, listen to what everybody's saying about you. People are saying Waterford are done. People are saying Waterford are finished. And then they put in a top performance like that. And all of a sudden, like, they've kind of shook up the dynamic in a Munster Championship a little bit, because you feel like whoever does lose in that Cork Clare game next week is potentially gone.
They probably are, to be honest, Aaron. And potentially if more so for Cork, because they still have Limerick to play. So, like, it's just, it was poor from a Cork point of view, but it's important to mention Waterford were absolutely brilliant, and they shut up the Doubters, in fairness. And what I said on the podcast, I wasn't as confident as many Cork support. I said we were going along well in the league, and I said that, but also said we have to be wary of Waterford as well. They still have quality players. The question was the temperament. And what they did yesterday was superb. The temperament and everything like that. From the first whistle, Jamie Barr gets that ball, cracks into the net. And what Davey Fitz did as well, which was so smart of him, and they should have done this last season, let the ball at the Desi Hutchinson. Do not play him around the middle of the field, because he's just not good at that. Put him in the corner, and he will provide excellent play for Waterford. And it proved that way. He got 10 points yesterday. you have the likes of Jack Prendergast was catching every ball out of the sky. Kevin Manley performed well. Jamie Barron, as I mentioned, Tyler Borka, crucial to have him back into the team. But I wasn't expecting him to come back into there. Connor Prunty there as well performed excellent. The whole Watford team put in a lot of work into this game. And you could see the reaction from David Fitz at the end of this. And it was almost like a sense of relief went out of him to go on and win it. And it was just incredible scenes from a Watford point of view. And well done to them for going on and winning it. 45 shots overall in the game as well. It proved their dominance more than anything over this car team. So fair play to Watford for going on and winning it. 60% shot accuracy was as well, which was really, really good. And yeah, they deserved a win, no doubt about it. As for Cork though, like, to be honest, the first half in particular was so, so poor. And it was almost like they kind of expected Watford to fold like they did in the league. And that's a dangerous game. Like, Dara Fitzgibbon was the only good performer in that first half. The rest of them were really, really poor in this game. They didn't set a fire whatsoever. Alan Connolly kind of did in the second half. He got that goal. And the car could point towards the referee and the decisions and stuff like that. And out of the two decisions, the Dean McCallan red card, I think it was a red card. I'll be honest with you. And I am a Cork fan. It's a second yellow. You can't go swinging around like that. It's dangerous. I just think it was a second yellow. As for the Kieran Joyce black card, I make no mistake about it. Cork should be accountable for their faults and everything like that. And Watford deserved to win. There's no complaints about it. I don't think it was a black card though, Aaron. I think Jack Prendergast let go of the ball. I don't think it's a ghost for opportunity because Jack Prendergast letting go of the ball. Having said that though, how could you make it so easy for Jack Prendergast to catch the ball straight from a Watford puck out? Cork have to ask that question. So, like, there was a lot of things wrong with Cork. There was a lack of fight more than anything, especially in the first half. Like, the second half, actually, their shot accuracy was 89%. They performed well in the second half, to be fair to them, other than that penalty decision and things like that, and the Damien Callahan red card, to be fair to Cork. And they performed well at spades. In the first half, though, they just looked unprepared for the challenge. And they expected Watford, as I said, to hold. And that is just dangerous going to a Munster Championship game. And it was almost like, I know Dan Casey, a good friend of yourself and myself, on Red FM and Sports Joe, said up until this game that this would be an easy game and Watford would be last in Munster. We both obviously said Watford would be last in Munster as well, but we expected that Watford surely would have a kick in them. Like, Watford are still a good team. Jamie Barron there, Tyler Borka. They still have excellent players. There's no doubt about it. And they were the second best team in the country for a reason a few seasons ago. So Cork had to expect that. They just didn't. And they go into next week now needing a win against Clare. But even that might not be enough because they still have to play Limerick in the next few weeks. And we know that game is not going to be easy whatsoever. So Cork are in a sticky predicament now, and yeah, they only have themselves to blame, really, for that first half showing. It was a non-show, more than anything, from a car point of view. But from a Watford point of view, excellent showing. They shut up the doubters. They played Tipperary in 2 weeks now with a lot of confidence behind them.
Yeah, like, it was almost like as if Cork, like, they just fell flat on their face in the opening 10 minutes. Like, they were, 1-5 to 2 points down, after 8 or 9 minutes. And as you said, like, they just, complacency maybe, and maybe they bought into what everyone was saying with the fact that Waterford are coming in looking so poor and everything else, and it's going to be easy. And Cork just didn't look prepared for it at all. Like, the amount of chances they missed in the first half, like, I don't think I've ever seen Patrick Horgan hit that amount of wides in one half of hurling. I think he hit like 10 wides at one stage in the first half, which was absolutely mental. Shawnee says here, when are the Cork hurling team going to get their act together? Shocking their decline considering their history at the top table. Yeah, look, I mean, obviously didn't get out of Munster last year, and I suppose like this year as well, it's just not looking good at all. And you felt like Pat Ryan was making a lot of progress as Cork manager, and look, if things don't go to plan, I don't think it's a case of changing it up. You know, maybe you do give him another year, I'm not entirely sure, but all of a sudden, like, that defeat is just, it feel like it could really set Cork back now.
Yeah, and I think the most troubling thing from a Cork point of view is the players that they are using. And I say this a lot of Cork fans laughed at me a few seasons ago for saying Hoggy shouldn't start, and I said he'd more, be more of an impact sub. A lot of Cork fans, coincidentally, now last night and this morning, were saying Hoggy should be dropped now. Yeah, look, look, do you see my point now? I think we need to use more younger players. And it's not just Hoggy, it's Conor Lehan, it's Seamus Hartney. I just think they looked flat yesterday. I honestly, especially in the first half. And I think Hoggy, to be fair to him, only hit three wides and two in the first half, which wasn't bad from Hoggy's point of view. He tried his best, no doubt about it. Conor Lehan, though, one shot, five shots, one taken. Like, that's not good enough. It really isn't. Seamus Hartney as well, I think he had a few shots as well. Had three shots, two taken, had one miss as well. There was two misses for Shane Barrett in the first half. Tommy O'Connor, Kieran Joyce missed a few as well. So it was the whole team, really. It was just a collective, really, really poor. And what a question about Cork. Why isn't Ben Cunningham in the team? Ben Cunningham was a brilliant player for the Bars over the last few seasons. He's been a star in the under-20s and minors over the last few seasons. Shane Barrett needs to have a more leading role. Alan Connolly needs to have a more leading role in the team. Robbie O'Flynn needs to start. Brian Hayes needs to come into the team more as well. There's a lot of players in this Cork team that you're thinking, why aren't they starting? And it's no surprise when you think about it. Conor Lehan, Seamus Hartney and Patrick Horgan were part of that 2013 team that reached the All-Ireland final against Clare. That's 11 years ago. Cork have to move on from that now. They need to produce more younger talent. And they can't let that under 20 talent from 2020, 2021 go to waste. It'd be just like, it would be almost like you have the tools there to perform well in Munster Championships, but you're just not using them. And it's just, it's frustrating more than anything. And they're sticking with the older players. And this was my point a few seasons ago. And a lot of Cork fans went at me for saying this. We need younger players to step out to the mark more now. Like, 2020, 2021, they're 3-4 years ago now. These players are 23, 24 years of age. We have to start using them now. The time is now to start using them. If we don't use them now, then it might be too late. And I just fear with that, Cork. And especially as well, the attitude just wasn't right in the first half. It was almost like they expected Waterford to fold, as I mentioned there, and it didn't materialise. To be fair to them, in the second half, they plucked up and they performed better. But it was just too little too late. And I just feel there's things to improve on for Pat Ryan's team. And the worrying thing for Pat Ryan, I do think he's a good coach. And I do believe if it doesn't work under this guy, under Pat Ryan, I don't think any manager could turn around this. Because he was the manager of that under 20 team. He was brilliant around the Sarsfield club, leading into many county titles over the last few seasons as well. He was doing a lot of work in the Sarsfield club. So he is the right guy. I do firmly believe that Pat Ryan is the right guy to take this Cork team. I just think he needs to show more faith in the younger players in this team. And the older players, look, they can still provide a role, put them on the bench, and then they can provide a role later on in the game. Look at what Limerick are doing with Graham Mulcahy, for example. He used to be a very good player down through the years. You're putting him on the bench, he can provide a role when he comes onto the pitch. Richie Hogan, the same for Kilkenny last season. And he performed a role coming onto the pitch. But Cork could learn a lot from them counties. And I just feel certain things have to be put in place for Cork to perform better in the next few seasons. And the time is ticking. The time bomb's ticking. If they don't do better against Clare next week, their season could already be over.
Yeah, it definitely could be all right, especially with Limerick to follow in the game that comes after that. So, yeah, massive, massive worries from a Cork perspective. Maybe last thing on this game, Waterford, like you mentioned previously, like 2 years ago, they were looking like one of the best teams in the country. It's obviously all fallen off a cliff since then. Can Waterford kick on now? And can they, you know, because I suppose Davy Fitz said, look, listen, in his post-match interview, nothing's done yet. It's just a win. You know, it's just a win. It's just 2 points on the board. But Waterford all of a sudden now will be fancying their chances of getting out of Munster and maybe kicking on from there. You feel like this win now can really kickstart their season?
Possibly so. I think the game against Tipperary would be vital now for them. Number one, the game's at home, as far as I know anyway. Correct me if the comments if I'm wrong there. And number two, Clare and Limerick seem to be the two best teams in the country. So realistically, you're not going to get much out of them. So I think if Watford beat Tipperary, I think they're into the All-Ireland stage. And anything can happen from them. Like, the main thing for Watford was to get out of Munster over the last two seasons. We know the talent that is there. We know that Davy Fitz is a good coach. It's just about providing it on the pitch. And what actually impressed me about Watford more than anything, and I watched this closely yesterday, the third quarter, and Davy Fitz talked about this in the league constantly and how they lost games and things like that. It was the effing third quarter. Watford didn't allow Cork to build the lead in that. They didn't allow Cork to get in front, which was a pleasing aspect for them. Even when things were starting to go wrong a small bit, I think Cork scored 3 points in a row off the bat, and things could have easily flipped for that Watford team, seeing what happened over the last few weeks in the league in particular. But I think they stood up to the challenge really, really well. And they could take that in the next few weeks now, and they could take the positives into the next few weeks. Like, they play Tipperary in 2 weeks' time, they'll have a rest next week, and all of a sudden, things will grow in the garden for them. I do think the Tipperary game in the next 2 weeks' time is a crucial one for them. Again, it's at home in Walsh Park. The home crowd will be rousing up behind them. And again, they aren't Limerick or Clare. They're beatable Tipperary. So if Watford produce the same level of performance as they did yesterday and more, I do think Watford have potential to get out of this Munster Championship. But once you get out of Munster, the sky's the limit, really.
It absolutely is, yeah. Looking at the Leinster Championship, Wexford 121, Dublin 218. Two dramatic late goals there for Dublin. Keane O'Sullivan and Danny Sutcliffe both getting the two goals right at the death there for Dublin. On a day where Wexford were very much in control, it was looking very much like it was going to be a Wexford win. Lee Chin scoring 112, Rory O'Connor with 4 points. But Dublin kept themselves within touching distance. Donal Burke with 7 points in total. And then the two late goals right at the death to salvage a draw. Look, in the end, it's a strange one, really. I still feel like Dublin probably actually needed to win this game because Wexford probably are more likely to get something from Kilkenny or Galway than Dublin are. But in the end, considering where Dublin were at, 5 points down in injury time, you know, to come away with the draw is good for Dublin. And considering Wexford were big favourites in Wexford Park, good bit of resilience shown here for Dublin after what was a difficult league.
To be fair, and looking at the last few minutes, like Danny Sutcliffe and Keane O'Sullivan getting the late goals, like that was a big draw for Dublin considering the context behind it. But even going in before throwing, you would have said the draw actually would have suited Wexford more. But it's almost like Wexford are kicking themselves. And even look at Know the Score, it's a very good website for looking at head-to-head games in Gaelic games. Check it out if you haven't already. It's a new, very good website, actually. I checked the records between Wexford and Dublin since the Round Robins were introduced in 2018. And Wexford have only won 1 out of 5 games. That's a worrying start for Wexford. It is, to be fair. Dublin won 2 and there's been 2 draws in this. So, like, Wexford, more than anything, would be concerned, number one, that they let the lead slip in such dramatic circumstances. And number two, that the record against Dublin is so, so poor. And obviously Wexford had the potential, no offence to Dublin now, but I think Wexford have the more potential under Keith Rossiter to push on further ahead of the likes of Kilkenny and Galway into Leinster Championships and into the All-Ireland Series as well. They nearly beat Clare 2 seasons ago as well, which shouldn't be forgotten. So I do think Wexford under Keith Rossiter seem to be making a slight turn into good season. But that result might set them back a few pegs now yesterday, so that was a difficult one to take for them. But I'd still expect Wexford to get out of the group, especially in third place. Like, they're more capable of getting results against Galway and Kilkenny. And added on to that, they're more capable of hammering Carlow and Antrim than Dublin are. So it's a tough one to comprehend, like, who'd be happy more with the draw. But Dublin could still turn it around, but they'd have to hammer the likes of Antrim and Carlow if they have any chance of getting out of the group now.
Yeah, the big one is the next two games. Like, Dublin are playing Carlow and Antrim in their next two games, and Wexford will play Galway in one of those two games. I think Wexford are playing Antrim next week. So, yeah, look, it's absolutely huge for Dublin to win those games and put up big scores. I think that has been the worry. Like, Antrim have come quite close in recent years to actually beating us. They've Dublin only beat Antrim by a point in the league, as an example. So, yeah, that would be the concern. And I know Jackie Tyrrell was saying that, you know, Wexford go to Kilkenny on the final day. it just, I can nearly see it happening already. Like, both Dublin and Wexford will be going in on score difference. Dublin might have the advantage, and then Wexford will just do what they do and beat Kilkenny out of nowhere when Kilkenny are already secured in the Leinster final. You can just see it happening. But yeah, all in all, as a Dublin fan, happy enough with the draw. We'll wait and see what obviously happens and what becomes of it after that. Other two games in Leinster: Kilkenny 5-30, Antrim 13 points, 32-point win there for Kilkenny. Galway Carlow was a little bit closer. It was Galway 225, Carlow 214. Yeah, like, it's one of them things. I suppose I don't really know what you do, really. Like, I mean, fair play to Carlow. Like, they did give a good cut of Galway, and at halftime there was actually only 3 or 4 points in it, in fairness. But yeah, like, a 32-point win for Kilkenny against Antrim. And, like, a lot of their big players all went off injured as well, like Owen Cody, Adrian Mullen, Owen Murphy. But yeah, like, what were your thoughts on both of these two games? I suppose expected wins, really, for both of them.
For the Kilkenny Antrim game, nothing much needs to be said other than concern for Owen Cody and a good performance from Owen Wall coming onto the pitch and getting 2-2 from O'Loughlin Gaels, the Kilkenny champion. So a good sign there, but that was a non-event, to be honest. Kilkenny strolled to victory in that. Galway Carlow, actually, when you look at the context of the game, on 51 minutes, Carlow were 4 points down. Marty Kavanagh got a goal, and it looked like Carlow could easily cause the shock of the championship. Look at that result. But then Conor Cooney gets a goal down the other end. That's that. But to be fair, Carlow did themselves proud in Pearse Stadium yesterday. They only lost by 11 points. They were in the game in some facets of it. John Nolan had a good performance. Chris Nolan did as well. Martin Kavanagh struck a few points over the bar as well. So, but then again, Galway had Evan Noyland and Conor Whelan both on the bench. They actually came onto the pitch. So, like, Galway, they have a lot to improve on despite players coming back into the team for Kilkenny next week. But for Carlow, that will give them confidence going into the games against Antrim and Dublin, especially in the next few weeks, that they can produce in the Leinster Championship. And they produced a very good performance, to be fair to them, against Galway. But yeah, the shock was to be in Pearse Stadium. But as for the game in Nolan Park, nothing much needs to be said, really.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, and certainly Carlow will take a good bit of confidence from it that they can stay in the Leinster Championship. Like, I suppose score difference is going to be hugely important, and Carlow playing Dublin next up as well, so maybe they might fancy their chances of causing a bit of an upset there. Looking at the games from the Joe McDonagh, the big one here was Laois beating Offaly 221-24. Big result there for Laois. Paddy Purcell with 2-1. On the day, obviously, a couple of late goals to turn it around. So, yeah, Laois carrying on their momentum from obviously winning Division 2A. So, they're in good steads to make a good push at the Joe McDonagh.
They are. And even though, on a side note about Clubber, I think this was excellent. Clubber actually showed this game, and they're showing all three Joe McDonagh good games next week. So, what would we do without that service? It's brilliant. And fair play to the guys at Clubber. A huge shout out to them. And even looking at the clip in this Offaly Laois game in the last few minutes, I think one of the Clubber commentators actually said on Twitter earlier today, it did go under the radar, but Offaly missed the last minute point to make it 25-121. Then Laois take a puck out. Paddy Purcell gets it down the other end and strikes it in the back of the net. Jubilation in the O'Moore Park. Brilliant win for Laois. Huge win. And Paddy Purcell, excellent performance from him. To be fair, Adam Screeny, what a performance from him coming on for Offaly, scoring 8 points. So that deserves a mention as well. But to be fair, Offaly play against Westmeath next week. And both those sides, we'll get on to Westmeath's result in the sixth, which was a surprise in itself. But Westmeath are playing Offaly next week. And that's a huge game. Huge game now. And the loser of that is a huge danger of not making promotion for the Joe McDonagh Cup. But big result for Laois. Huge win to get against a very good Offaly side. And that will give them confidence to potentially go for a promotion push there for Laois.
Absolutely, yeah. And you mentioned the other game. Well, speaking of this, first of all, Down 324, Meath 25 points. So big win for Down there. But Westmeath getting beat by Kerry 114-120. Not many people seeing this coming at all. Obviously, Westmeath playing in Division 1 all year, very much seen as one of the big favourites. They were my pick to win the Joe McDonagh. I don't know if they were your pick, but they're certainly most people's pick anyway, to at the very minimum get to a final. And Kerry, on the other hand side, we were thinking could maybe go the other way and be thereabouts in a battle for relegation. But Yeah, what a huge win for Kerry Hurlan. Morris O'Connor there with 110 in total. So fair play to him. But yeah, huge win for Kerry.
Massive. And when you consider Shane Conway's missing from the Kerry team, Mikey Boyle retired in the off season, to lose them two stalwarts for Kerry Hurling and going on to win this game is massive. And I'm absolutely delighted to go on and win this game. Unexpected. I did not expect them to beat Westmeath. But fair play to the boys of the Kingdom. And Morris O'Connor, as you mentioned there, 110. What a performance. And Westmeath, Joe Fortune's men now, back foot. They play against Offaly next week. Loser of that is now on the back foot. Like, Offaly, they were my picks personally to go up to the from the Joe McDonough. So one of our predictions are going to be wrong next week, Aaron. So it's massive to think that. So yeah, it's going to be a big weekend next week. But as for Kerry, it's a massive result for them, because when you consider the players that they did miss, when you consider Shane Conway stepped away, Fiona McKessie talked about being potentially being in the footballers as well, which wasn't great talk from a Kerry point of view. There was a few Kerry fans saying Stephen Lumphy should have left his post at the end of last season as well. I was hearing anyway. And for him even to get a bit of confidence booster and winning against Westmeath is massive. And as for Down, look, that was probably the most expected win out of the three of them. Meade had probably struggled in the league. Saoirse Bolfin left as manager. And there's been probably a few problems behind the scenes. Doherty Sands got 2-2 in this game for Down, so good performance from him. But Down, good result for Roland Sheehan's side. And could Down provide a few results as well? I think they play Kerry next week. I'll have to double check. I think they play Kerry actually next week. So that's a big game. Two sides that are off the back of wins. The winner of that will fancy their chances of going up.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll run through some results here just from the lower tier. So on the Christy Ring, it was London 426. Sligo 12 points. Derry 226. Tyrone 13 points. Kildare 327. Wicklow 14 points. And in the Nicky Rackard, it was Louth 17 points. Armagh 18. It was Monaghan 116, Roscommon 417. Donegal beat Mayo 21 points to 14. And then in the Lorrie Mar, Warwickshire beat Longford 221 to 216. Fermanagh beat Cavan 512 to 318. Or actually, that game was a draw, actually, to be fair. And Lancashire were beaten by Leitrim. It was 120 to 225. So, yeah, in terms of player of the week and moment of the week from both football and hurling, what are you thinking?
I'll give my awards there in a sec, but just on those games, good performance from Jack Goulding, scoring 213 for London, former Kerry player as well, so good weekend for Kerry Hurling. Overall, Kildare had a good performance as well, and they look to be on a serious trek. And just on a side note as well, why aren't these games being shown on the Sunday game?
Yeah.
It's just comical at this stage. Look, we can go on and on about this, and I'm sure that video is going to be out with me, you and Seamus. So tune in for that tomorrow. Just a shameless plug there. For player of the week in football, I'd probably go, you know what, Daniel O'Mahony. What a performance from him in Killarney. I'm going to go for him. Excellent performance in shackling David Clifford. In hurling, player of the week, I'm going to go for Jamie Barron. Excellent performance for Waterford. Can't really complain. Midfield, what a performance from him. And then for moment of the week in football, it's a shame Sligo didn't win that game, isn't it? Because that would have been slam dunk of the week. I'd have to go for Donegal beating Derry. Jim, out tactic, Mickey Hart. That's a brilliant moment of the week. And as for hurling, I suppose Watt for Davy Fitz falling to his knees, that would have been my moment of the week. So, they'd be my awards for this week.
Yeah, I think for player of the week in football, I go Roy McHugh. He was obviously outstanding for Donegal, and coincidentally, like we were mentioning that game in 2014, he was man of the match against Dublin in that game as well, and he was outstanding in this game, so kind of incredible to think. But so we'll go with him as player of the week in hurling. I probably agree. I probably would go Jamie Barron as well. It's a hard one, really, because like you look at like for Limerick were so poor for so long, so it's very, very hard to actually give it to a Limerick player. Like Keane Lynch was outstanding for the final 15-20 minutes. But, you know, like for the 50 minutes, he wasn't really like, and Aidan McCarthy was outstanding. McClare obviously still ended up getting beat. So, yeah, probably would go with Jamie Barron as well. And then moments of the week, probably would go with, Davy Fitz, obviously. the celebration and everything else. You saw how much it meant to him, in fairness. And yeah, just seeing the Donegal Derry game sort of just be so similar to the game 10 years ago, like in terms of scores, in terms of stats and everything. It was quite bizarre to see it, but there we go. So yeah, we'll go ahead and wrap this up here. Anyone who's tuned in, hit the like button and subscribe. If you could check out the Gaelic Statsman podcast, that would be great as well. And yeah, we'll catch you all soon.